Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Oh, hot, sweaty.
Yes, because you are not on the shores at the moment.
You're in sunny Cape Town.
Yeah, well, we're not jealous, not at all. Let's talk some Leeds United first, KB. There's loads to get through. Real disappointment after that Newport defeat in the FA Cup. The owner, Andrea Radrizzani, has called it his lowest point after taking over.
Well, the simple is that you'll get used to it in due course. That football thing happens. And what happens in so many cases, and I've experienced it myself, is that if you're the underdogs, there's nothing to lose. And you go out and play above yourself. And the danger is if you're the top dogs and expect to win, then sometimes the players, or some of the players, think they've won it before they go and pick. And therefore lower their concentration and let the alleged superiority do the job for them. And that's what happens. And these boys, the Newport boys, never gave up. And they scored in the last few minutes. Plus, and of course, probably caught the league players off guard. Even though they were narrow 1-0 lead, probably thought the game was over, but great kick blow whistle, left it in the bath. The same time to wake up call, so it could be a blessing in disguise. Any inflated egos may have had their bubbles split a bit and get down to the fact that hard work never did anybody any harm.
One of the things that came out, KB, from that game is, very sadly, Samuel Saiz got a 6-game ban for spitting. It's not the first time he's sort of been accused of it. He got away with it the last time, but again in a game against Port Vale. But this time, 6 games, one of the best players is going to be out, and very disappointing.
Well, I think the thing about suspension, which I've always argued, is that when a player is suspended, he should automatically lose his weight. After all, he has made himself unavailable for selection, unable to work. So therefore his money, that would normally be his salary, could not be retained by the club. There's always some way of getting it back to him. But in fact could be paid into a central fund, probably to help genuine players, ex-players, who are down on their luck. Certainly ones with gambling debt, that kind of nonsense, but serious injury or illness or that sort of thing. And that would then make the player really feel the pain. And share the pain that he's inflicted on his fellow colleagues and his fans, his supporters, who pay his wages. There's no excuse for this. No excuse for this. So do you think? Maybe next time I'll keep your tongue between your teeth.
No, quite right, KB. No excuse for it at all. Something that happened yesterday, KB, as well. There's a couple of things just in other football news, get your reaction to. First of all, announcement yesterday that England will play their final friendly ahead of the World Cup against Costa Rica at Elland Road in June. They're taking England on tour again. I think it's the only one they're going to be doing this season. England are playing Elland Road in June 7th.
Well, it's a good job we renovated the stadium then, isn't it? It was the right mess in 2005. Now I think we've got 38,000 capacity. Loads and loads of executive spaces, dining facilities, etc., etc. So it should be, let's hope it's a sellout. And nice day out, away from the rigours of the league and the boost of the city. So, drinks all round. I bet the hotel's already putting the price up.
Yeah, I can imagine they would be, actually. The other thing that's came out this week, get your reaction to, is the FA are going to interview at least one applicant from a black, Asian and minority ethnic background for future roles in the England setup. This is, they're adopting their own version of the Rooney Rule, which was implemented by the NFL in America in 2003.
Well, the problem is, if you want to get to the top as a manager, you have to start at the bottom. Irrespective of your colour, your race or your creed. And you can't go for political correctness in sport. The top people have got to be the best people. And it demonstrates that they're not racially interested. Have to remember that Ryan Giggs has been roundly condemned as he was touted for, I think, a fairly low job in management, which he turned down and said it was too low for him, so he wanted to start at the bottom. Well, that's where you do start, Ryan. You start at the bottom and work your way up, if you're good enough. And and there should be no exception to that. So once you start doing a quota system, what happens if there isn't an ethnic minority good enough? You just send him along, be the token person to be interviewed, knowing well, you're not going to get the job, but at least you fulfill the quota. I think it's stupid. There are plenty of good black coaches, and there are plenty of bad ones. There's been a few good black managers, but then there are now, of course, far more black players in the game than there were in the old days. But many of them are overseas, foreigners, and they're not interested in FA jobs. As once they've finished their inflated salaries, rather than having spent it, they go home to their own country and live a life of luxury. Well, there's one exception, there's Georgie Weir, who was a striker for Chelsea very briefly. Then we signed him towards the end of the season, and he came on and last minute sub, and headed the winner from a corner. Played one, won one, scored one. And he's just become president in his home country in West Africa. And mind you, he was an exceptional man who did a lot of good work with his money, which he earned from the game. And that's interesting. You know, might we have Wayne Rooney to be our next Prime Minister himself. But I'm sorry, you only get on in football eventually, on the long term, if you're good enough. You have the ability. And good players don't necessarily make good managers. I mean, Glenn Hoddle had everything. He played at Scotland, was a great player. Did a great job at Monaco. Then he went to, apart from that, he went to Swindon Town and I recruited him to Chelsea. He wasn't that good at Chelsea. He walked out, ended his contract, resigned by telephone, went to England, it was a disaster. Because you have to have something other than ability to be a leader. You have to be able to get the best out of the people you're leading, encourage them when they're down, put them down when they're too big-headed, get them to mould, and you've got to get the bend. Make sure the right players interact with each other. And that's just because you're a good player doesn't mean you're going to be a good coach. Find that out slowly and carefully. So I'm afraid that I regard that as a retrograde step. If they're good enough to be on the list, regardless of colour or creed, if they're not, keep them off the list. No matter how much clamour there is, not enough political correctness in sport. Sport greatness. So I regard that as disappointing.
Well, moving on, KB, and...
he's racist, because he doesn't get Paul Elliott. He's slowly climbed up the ranks in the FA. He's now has a special appointment at the top of the FA. He done his hard work and determination. And that's how you get to the top in football. And you should do that.
Well, moving on, KB, and once again, Brexit in the news again, and after a cabinet reshuffle, some eyes raised, I think, by Theresa May appointing a no-deal minister, and the EU is defending its right to make plans for a no-deal Brexit, even though sort of UK firms are fearing we may lose out as a result of that.
Yes, that may be so, but on the other hand, you have to... If you're managing a government, you have to plan for all contingencies. And one of Cameron's and Osborne's great disasters, they're so arrogant and cocky, they win the referendum, say stay in, didn't make any contingency plans. So although now Theresa May get the blame for lack of progress, etc., 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 the moment that Cameron decided he's going to hold a referendum, Whitehall should have started planning for a leave decision. You always keep them on fire, you have to throw them away, but you've done the work. And we lost 18 months because of that. So, quite right, we are determined, we're leaving, that's been agreed, that's been decided. The nation, people have spoken, we're leaving. Now it's a question of what kind of departure would it be? And we have to make all kinds of plans for every possible circumstance. Because then we're ready. You know, they come out of a meeting and say, oh, Christ, what do we do now? Exactly what we do now. It also shows the Garniers and Juncker and Schultz in this world that we mean business. There's so much hot air being quoted about in the press, particularly on the European side, they need to start thinking what's going to happen. And if there is no trade deal, how is it going to affect them? In the paper this morning, the European leaders have already warned some of the countries that they're going to be $9 billion worth of net contributions from the UK. We can start finding it. Well, I suppose start with a freeze or cut the tax-free salaries and pensions they pay to their overstaffed bureaucracy. We've got to be ready. Then we can't be bullied. That's what Garnier is doing, bullying, threats. Oh, yes? So how do Mercedes-Benz feel about not being allowed to sell their cars in England, in Britain? What's France going to do with their wine and their cheese and their yogurt and their milk? So we could, no deal, cut both ways. And that's what we're going to tell them. Meanwhile, unemployment down again, productivity is up, net average wages up. Things are looking good. By the way, don't forget to travel on your Virgin train. Don't forget to buy your Daily Mail before you leave. So they won't give it to you on the plane. Mr. Branson has spoken. He's banned freedom of expression. He has decided that you can't read the Daily Mail on his trains. You can, but they get a fee and they're going to pay for it. Yeah, it's going to work. I thought the reshuffle was a bit of a non-event by a mother lady who refused to be moved and walked out when she was told she couldn't have an existing job. Going out of temper principle, hope she maintained it for the rest of her political career. Good example. The Mr. Corbyn should learn from that. So there we are. 10 days into the new year. Things are already looking good. Except for the weather. But then that's the same all over the world, isn't it?
Unless you're in South Africa.
Well, we've got a drought here at the moment.
Oh, really?
they've got water restrictions on. You'll be asked not to shower for more than 2 minutes. Who's timing them, I'm not sure. You should only catch your waste on the beaches.
KB, as ever, always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you very much.